All right, I want to start with a topic which I said a few times, but it's one of my favorite topics. But being that I said it a few times, so we'll, in the middle, switch to a different topic, connected, but a little different, something we never said before. There's a famous medrash on last week's parsha, which is that it says that Vayikach Moshe's Asmas Yosef. So the Medrash says that it says that all Klai Yisrael were busy taking the visa. There was Hashem gave a commandment to Moshe that you should ask the Mitzrayim for their money, and they were taking the visa. And Moshe, instead of taking the visa, took the Asmas Yosef. So the Medrash says that re'ei kama chavivis mitzvahs al Moshe. See how much Moshe loves mitzvahs, because all Yisrael nisasek b'visa v'uosek b'mitzvahs, and Moshe is a fulfillment of the pasuk, famous pasuk hacham leiv yikach mitzvahs, the pasuk in Mishlei that a wise person takes mitzvahs. So I always say there's a story. I'm sorry, many of you people heard it already, but it's a very, I think, inspiring story. When the yeshiva was in Israel, I think it was in 77, and I at that time was single, wasn't that old. I used to learn with Rav Shia every Shabbos. We started at I think 2:30 every Shabbos. I learned 8 Shabbos Shittas before I came, because we learned till, didn't make a difference to what time Mincha was. We learned till like the last minute, till before Mincha. Okay, that didn't make a difference. And then we walked to the last minyan in that neighborhood. It was near Gula, in the Adala Minyan, but there was like a late minyan. They davened like right before Shkia. We davened at that minyan. He would right away go wash for a motzi in the shul, and I would go back to yeshiva. That was every week, was the same schedule, basically. And, okay. And then the way to this minyan, every week, the same type thing, he would ask me, did you get an aliyah this Shabbos? Every Shabbos he asked me. And of course I would say no, because at that time the minhag in the yeshiva was that only married guys would get minyan aliyahs on Shabbos, single guys got during the week. So it was not possible for me to get a minyan and aliyah during Shabbos. I wasn't choshev enough. So every week he asked, did you get an aliyah? I said no. He says, oh, you gotta get an aliyah. So he'd walk into this minyan, and there was a gabbai there, who apparently knew him. He'd walk over to the gabbai, an older person, and tell him, give Binyamin an aliyah. So basically, for every week, for a whole year in Israel, every Shabbos for Mincha, I got the aliyah, a shlishi, only one aliyah for Mincha. And after a while, I started feeling quite embarrassed, because here I'm a young guy, I'm an American. I don't even belong to the shul. No one knows who I am. The shul was a packed shul. It was a little minyan. There were some very chashva people. I recognized some of the people that were famous gedolim of Yerushalayim were in this minyan. And no one knows why. Every week this kid is getting the aliyah. Like, ridiculous. But what can I do? Rashia, every week he goes over to the gabbai, give Binyamin the aliyah. Okay. Anyway, at the end of the year, we walk into the minyan, and the gabbai wasn't there. And instead, he wasn't there. He was, I guess, I don't know why he wasn't there. Absent, sick, went away for a simcha, who knows. So there was some chassidish kid, 14-year-old, I don't know exactly, who was in charge, became the temporary gabbai. And I see Rav Shia is like, what am I going to do? And this kid's not going to listen. He doesn't know who I am. He's not going to listen to me. And I was so happy, I'm tired. I was so happy. Baruch Hashem. But at least it'll be 1 week, I won't get the aliyah, it'll be a break. Sure enough, the kid goes ahead, and he comes to Cohen, and he walks over to a friend of his, and he asks him for his name, and he comes back and calls, his friend. He goes over to Levi, to another friend of his, calls him up for Levi. He goes over to a third friend of his to ask him his name, and Rav Shia runs up to the Amid, and he's an old man, Yamo Binyamin Shlishi. Anyway, so I got the aliyah. Right, so the whole time he was so happy afterwards. Oh, we kept your mitzvah. Okay. Anyway, that was the concept. Rav Shia happened to be. I heard him many times. This is Chazal. Hacham leiv yikach mitzvahs. I heard him again. The same thing. It was also the same year. There was a bris in the yeshiva. Because a guy, only people don't know. There's someone named Label Lisker. People don't know Label Lisker. Label Lisker was a son-in-law of Rav Plashinsky, Rav Shai Cohen's brother-in-law. And Mr. Lisker was a major Baal Bas of the Chofetz Chaim, and they had a very beautiful bris and in the yeshiva, and they got one of these huge chawas for, you know, Chavetz Simcha. And okay, so they had the bris, being it was Rav Plashinsky's, you know, son, so there was a lot of chasha people there. So you had a very impressive dais. You had, I remember, Rav Plashinsky, and you had Rav Plashinsky, you had Rav Shia, because Rav Plashinsky and Shia related, they were related. You had also Rabbeinu Shvinkel, Rav Shiva the Mir, and I don't remember who else. So they had, so Label, the Baal Simcha, cut this cow, and I'm pretty sure it was Rabbi Yachnis, who was also singing at the time, was like the waiter. So he took the chawa off the table, and he was taking it into the kitchen to cut it up, you know, cut up into pieces. So the Rav Plashinsky stops him 1 second before you take that. And he says, well, I'll bring it back. No. He takes his hand, and he rips off a piece, you know. And then, so he's walking further, and Rav Danish stops him. He says, no, also. He rips off a piece. And then Rav Shia also. So Rav Shia told him also, he said, I'll bring it back. He says, Hacham leiv yikach mitzvahs. I don't exactly know what the mitzvah is, but I guess there must be some mitzvah of covet of the chawa. So he said, I'm not taking a chance. You're going to bring me back the chawa. You know, I'm grabbing the mitzvah now. Anyway, he was very big in this concept. So that itself is, you know, usually we give the musafat. But I've done this, I think I said this musafat already. I don't know if I said it last year, probably the year before, that there's a very, very important thing of appreciating a mitzvah. Any mitzvah, whether it's an aliyah. You know, here I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed to get the aliyah. He was thrilled. And I see it here. I'm sometimes a gabbai, and there are people that you go over, our gabbai will be made to, I bet you. There are people you go over to on Shabbos, and you ask them their name for an aliyah, and they will say, no, I don't want an aliyah. I mean, what's wrong with you? You know, I'm offering you $1 million and you turn it down. Like, well, what are you turn down a mitzvah? I had in Israel, this was a different year, but it was, I remember this, I was in Israel, and Rabbi Nyman, the senior Rabbi Nyman, sent, there was apparently, I do not remember who it was, there was someone there, Rabbi Nyman himself was a very big gadol or tzaddik who lived in Yerushalayim, who wasn't so well known, an American who moved to Eretz Yisrael, I don't remember who it was, and Rabbi Nyman collected in the yeshiva money for him. And he sent, with someone who came to Israel, a large sum of money to deliver to this guy, to this person, this Choshev, not guy, the Choshev Rav. He lives in Shari Chesed somewhere. Anyway, so I remember this guy came, he came for a week, and he was staying in my house, he's staying in my room. He was so angry at Rabbi Nyman. I'm here for 1 week. You know, I got a whole itinerary, things I got to do, and Rabbi Nyman wants me to go to Shari Chisin and deliver this. You know, I got no time for that. I got to go to Masada. And, you know, I know, the guy was like, he was really angry. So I said, I'll tell you what, I'll deliver it. You know, I was thrilled. How often do I get a chance to deliver? I think it was a nice amount of money. You know, I didn't expect to be giving out large sums of money to Staka. And here was a chance to give a chashiva person a large sum of money, and I was thrilled. You know, this guy was fuming. But that's the concept that you have to, when you have a mitzvah, we have to appreciate the mitzvah. Right? That's Hacham leiv yikach mitzvahs. Okay. Anyway, so I want to be mikatzer. But I want to go on a slightly different topic, but not different, just on a subtopic, because this topic I assume we talked about. There is a kasha in the Mefarshim on this chazal. What does it mean here that Moshe Rabbeinu took Atmos Yosef Hacham Leiv Yikach Mitzvahs? But the other people, what were they doing? The Chazal says they were doing the Bizui. And the Bizui was also a mitzvah. It's a Beferish, it was a Tzivui. Moshe told Klai Yisrael to before they leave Mitzrayim to ask from the Mitzrayim to take their money. It was, and it was a tziva in order to mekayim v'achar kach yetsu b'rechush gadol. It was a tziva to Klai Yisrael. So I mean, everyone is going on running after the money, and Moshe is running after mitzvahs. They were also doing mitzvahs. It's not just Moshe doing mitzvahs. So mimeda Moshe, it's not acham nevika mitzvahs. One mitzvah or the other mitzvah. Yeah, either way you do a mitzvah. So the obvious answer is that even within mitzvahs there are bigger mitzvahs and smaller mitzvahs. So that was even the bigger chiddush of Acham Lev Yikach Mitzvahs. Moshe could have gone after the money, like everyone else, and felt good about himself, I'm getting a mitzvah. And instead, he didn't go after the money, the millions of dollars, but he went to look for Atzmas Yosef, because in his mind, he realized that's a bigger mitzvah. Why do they say Atzmas Yosef is a bigger mitzvah? So, okay, I'm not sure, but at least some of the people say, and you know if it's Mukhrok, may other reason, because Yosef was a tzaddik. And there's a tremendous mitzvah in doing a chesed to a tzaddik. I bought a sefer, I was in New York 2 weeks ago, that there was someone wrote, he was writing a letter to someone, letters of certain gadol. So there was a letter that he wrote to someone he was collecting money for staka for a certain person who was a grandson of a certain famous tzaddik. And it didn't say who it was, but he says it was a grandson of, they left that out when they printed it, of a certain gadol. So he says, right about such an Indian, he said that there was known thing that Rav Chaim Brisker would go to all the extremes, to the biggest extremes when it came to a grandson of a gadol. Because when indirectly, you're doing a grandson of a gadol, you're doing chesed to the gadol. Obviously, the gadol would be happy that you're helping his grandson, even though he's dead already, but that's still called the chesed to him, the grandfather. So the Rav Chaim went to extreme length if it was a question of a chesed to a descendant of a gadol. So he wrote in this letter, how important it is to collect for this staka. Right, so that's pshat over here. If you have the mice with Oig Melech HaBoshen, with Avram Avinu, okay, whatever. That it's a special, special mitzvah to do a chesed to Gedolim. So Shaila is, why are we saying that? Because most of you guys, right, first of all, right now for sure not, but even in, it's always future. How many Gedolim are you going to meet, have connections with? And what Gedolim are you going to find that are going to need chesed? If Rabbi Yoshe needed something, 50 people will come running, right? We had, so there is such, I know that in the, when we had I know when Rabbi Jacobson had a vart, they had it, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky came. So the vart was in one place, and then they moved to another place. So, they had a cheshbon that when he gets to the next place, there was no chairs. So somebody, I don't want to mention who, but someone was smart enough to carry a chair so that when Rav Yaakov came to the new place, he could give him a chair. But the Maisa, most cases like that, there'll be 50 people running to give him a chair. So how do you ever get a chance to get a chesed to a gadol? If Rav Yaakov walks into the room and there's no chair, I believe you have 50 people running to give him a chair. Right? So if you're planning in advance, so maybe you'll be the first one. But even that's not such a chesed, because someone else will give him a chair. And if you don't give him the chair, and 5 seconds later, he'll get a different chair. How do you go ahead? He said it's such a big Indian to do a chesed to gadolim. It sounds like almost not practical. So I want to. I think it's a trim. It's a chiddush, but it's not. It's a chiddush in mitzias. It's not a chiddush in like Musar. There's a sefer here. The sefer here, Mikor Baruch. He says it's the Torah Tamima autobiography, so to speak, and he talks about his uncle. His aunt, the Netziv, was his uncle. So he tells a story that he was in the Netziv's house, and he was there, And when the Netziv came home from yeshiva to eat lunch, and he says the Netziv basically his minig was that he didn't eat anything kamat till lunchtime. He had in the yeshiva, he didn't go home to yeshiva. And it was after davening, he stayed in yeshiva, and he ate. He had a cup of coffee with a little piece of uga chema, I don't know, some kind of light piece of cake. I don't know exactly what it means. So but that's what he had. And so basically, he didn't eat. He had his coffee and some kind of mizonos after davening, and he went through the day. He gave his shiurim, whatever he did, and then he finally comes home for lunchtime. You know, whatever is lunchtime. So he comes home for lunch, and he happened to be there because he was a nephew. So he says the table was covered with a white tablecloth. There was a plate with two skinny pieces of bread, shnei pasim dakim, a plate of vegetables in vinegar with a little bit of milk on top of it, like it's a dressing. Okay. So the Netziv ate the two skinny pieces of bread and the vegetables. And then he says it looked like apparently he was still felt like he had to eat something. So he starts walking around the house. And there was nothing, no other food in the house. that was it. So he found on a chair, on a table in the room, a little dish with a chema kata, a little piece of butter. Kezias, the size of a kezias. I don't know how big, you know, your machmer on a kezias. But a piece of butter of the size of a kezias. That's an olive. Maybe had a big desires. Okay, Gregris. So he took the plate with the butter, and he went to his wife, and he asked her, is it okay if I can eat this? So his wife picks it up, he says, and she starts studying it. Well, I guess you can eat it, but, you know, we should really leave. Wouldn't it be nice if we left it for our daughter? You know. So he says, okay. So he left it. And he benched. And that was it. So he says there was the Tartmiva, he says he was watching the Netziv to see his reaction. He says, no reaction. He was happy. Went back to yeshiva like nothing happened. So that's the Vart. The Vart is that nothing happened. And he writes here that he realizes how silly he was. He didn't tell anyone. If he would have told someone, it wouldn't have, you know. Of course, the people, the Netziv was a god ador. People would have made sure that the Netziv had food. But the Netziv isn't going to tell anyone. Because that's part of being a gadol. Part of being a gadol is gadolim don't complain. And gadolim don't ask for things. And they're quite mistopic b'muet. And if there's not enough food, so there's not enough food. And that's the way it is. And the board there is, I've seen this. From a little bit of experience of being a little bit around Chosha, some people, Baruch Hashem, that sometimes, I'm not sure, maybe the most famous Gedolim that have people in their house day and night, maybe it wouldn't happen. But many Gedolim, they have tremendous needs, but just that they don't say anything. And you wouldn't know because they're not going to tell you. They don't tell you because they're some mayhap of Chalkam. You know, I remember there was one when Gadol told me a story about Rav Chaskel Levinson, that he came to the Mir, and he came to the Mir to Panovich, and he was supposed to get his salary, and they didn't pay him for, you know, who knows how long, and you know he had basically was starving, he didn't know what to do, so. You know, I complain, I'm not getting paid. I'm nice, you know, complain. But he's supposed to get paid his salary, he's not getting paid. So he went, Rav Yehuda Cohen told me this. He said he was a Talmud of Rav Hominer. So he went to Rav Hominer and he asked him in Eitzah, what should I do? Should I complain? Should I say something? And Rav Hominer said, no, don't say anything. Not right, he complained. So he didn't say anything. So he said, then later, a few weeks later, I don't know exactly how long later, he says, the guy, the person, someone came over with him, And he gave him a nice amount of money, including his all his back. He says, "You know, I was given this money to deliver every week, but I figured that you probably had, because he came from a different position. I'm sure you must have gotten a pension or whatever when you left. I'm sure you left a lot of money, so I figured you needed it, and I needed it for something. So I'm sure you didn't mind. I was helping myself and borrowing your salary for the last few months, taking a gemach. They were giving it to me to give to you, and I was helping myself." He says, "Oh, okay." So then he came back to home, and there he says, "Oh, it's such a good thing you gave me such a good advice. Imagine if I would have told someone, complained I don't get paid, they would have found out that this guy's basically pocketing my money. They would have fired him, and I would have gotten someone in trouble, that's the least thing I want to do, get someone in trouble and make him lashon hara, and make him lose his job. So, but, you saved me from lashon hara, So here he was going for who knows how long without any food. And I remember telling you that the same thing happened with the Gra. The Gra was, the Vilna supported the Gra, the city of Vilna gave him a stipend, but the person who was supposed to deliver figured, what does the Gra need anyway? So most of it he took for himself. helped himself. So it does, and no one knew. So I don't know when it found out finally, maybe he was Moiden, when he was dying, I think. But there, I'm not sure exactly how they found out. But the Maisa, it is a thing that many Gedolim, you see it if you're around Gedolim, because they are such, they're only into learning and only into mitzvahs and only into things, so they don't worry about certain things, they don't spend time, and they don't complain, and they don't tell people, and there are needs, and if you can take advantage and notice and try and take advantage and see there are opportunities to help chashuva people. You obviously have to have connection with a chashuva person. Okay, I don't know how many people will get to have this chus of connecting, but it's something that it pays for to have in the back of your head for 10 years from now, 20 years from now. People take for granted that the gedolim have everything they eat, because it's true. If they would ask, if they would ask, they'd have 50 people knocking on their doors. But the Maisa, it is known, if you read Svarim of history books, many Gedolim, Mamish had, the people when they write up their stories, they write about it, the Simpson that they lived and the things that they didn't have and whether it was furniture or clothing or food or all kinds, whatever it was, because they didn't ask, and they acted with tremendous simcha, and people therefore just assumed. Everyone assumes, of course, the gadol. Everyone's going to give the gadol, and he's so happy, and he's not complaining. He's a big smile on his face, and he's living. So of course, you just take for granted. But the reality is very often not that case. So it just, I think it's something that, like, in the back of our heads to have in mind that there are, there's this, first of all, we have the Stamazoi, Rav Shia's story, Hacham Lev Yikach Mitzvah, any mitzvah, right? Any mitzvah, it's like a gevaldik thing. Shouldn't be like this guy who turns down an aliyah, or this person who turned down the opportunity, that was even delivering it to a gadol, that was even double big mistake he made. But turned down opportunity to deliver money. You get a mitzvah, a mitzvah are precious. Acham leiv yikach mitzvahs. Don't be embarrassed because you get a mitzvah. A mitzvah is worth $1 million, $5 million, $100 million, whatever it is. It's definitely worth a lot. It's more than that. But it's acham leiv yikach mitzvahs. But second of all, there are certain mitzvahs, especially, you got to keep your eyes open. And if you ever have any shaychus with a gadol, you keep your eyes open. You never know. The people, obviously, in my example, you can run and bring the person a chair. Okay. We used to have that also in the, when they had the vayas in the yeshiva. we used to have in Israel, they had a vaya a few times. There were the vayas in the yeshiva, and certain gedolim used to come, and Yeshaya, you know, preparing, you know, to get them to get the people the gedolim a chair. There was such an opportunity to, or be prepared in advance that you know that this gadol is going to gedolim is going to come to this levaya, have some chairs. In Israel, people stand for levayas, but older people have to sit. So have some chairs ready that they can sit, you know, whatever. That's thinking. Because they don't, that's the Metzias. I don't know. I do not know. But that's the Metzias is Gedolim don't complain. And they very often have, you know, certain, which is like easily rectifiable, easily cured. But they don't complain. They're not going to make an issue about it. I don't know, yeah. Yes, I'm not saying they're going to, but that's not exactly the example. But, right. You know, there's certain things that they could have that would be a very big, you can walk into the garden, you'll see that he could use his Sfarim are falling apart. You know, if you could buy him a new Mishnah Brura, you know, what a simcha, you know. He doesn't have a set of Mishnah Brurahs. He's using a set that he got his, he bought from the third hand store from the Sheamus from 30 years ago. Now, he might like that set. I don't tell you every time he'll do that. But sometimes, you know, that's not such an uncommon thing, you know. There's all kinds of things. You don't make do with many things in that they're happy with it. Okay, so which you would never, if it was up to you, you would never stand for it. You would never stand with a Mr. Brewer that crumbles in your fingers. But, okay, that's what he has. He's quite happy. Whether it's not just food, and it's not just clothing. It's many things that they're just, the Gedolim schlepped instead of taking taxis or rides, they would, you know, it's so many Maisim of Ramosha taking the subways to places. Because, you know, he doesn't have a car, and he can't afford a taxi, I assume, you know. So if he had to go somewhere, he's taking a subway. You know, no one dared that. You invite Rav Moshe to a wedding, you know, you just assume, okay, he's going to come. Then he comes with, you know, he's schlepping in a subway and then walking 10 blocks. You know, it's a people don't dare. People, you just assume, you know, I have a car, and of course, you know, Rav Moshe, of course, has a chauffeur. Rav Moshe doesn't have a chauffeur. Now, they say that there's no good, some Gedolim do have people that drive them, but a lot of Gedolim don't. They think, you have to, like, my wife used to be Rav Shia's driver, you know, and sometimes. And your father too?
Yeah.
Wasn't he didn't have, you know, we offer, you know, we got a driver. Okay, if you have to go, sometimes she used to drive it. Not every day, but once in a blue while. Especially I knew, you know, we would drive him somewhere. Otherwise, it wasn't such an uncommon sight you met a Gadol during the bus in Yerushalayim. You know, how else do you think they're going to get along around? They're going to take a taxi. Taxis cost money. I'm talking about the biggest gedolim, you know, the gedolim. Now, obviously, the darkest, but the biggest chesed is to do a chesed to one of the. I'm not talking about the you know, they're among the, you know, there are certain people that I consider the gedolim, you know,
well,
they're
sure,
what?
There's a level where someone, a superstar, therefore, people
that are, you know, they were, you know. Very chash of people. I remember bumping into Rav Oba on a bus. You know, he just walked on a bus, and you know, Rav Zuckerman used to take the buses. You know, people just, you know, it's not uncommon because and then Rav Moshe, everyone used to talk about how Rav Moshe used to take the subways. If somebody started, I'll be bumping into Rav Moshe in the subway. There, people, and just an example. That many, many Gedolei Ador, and I'm not saying all. There are some Gedolei Ador that there's someone taking care of them, and they're looking out for everything of them, and they have, and you want, you know, it's not, I'm not mukhruch. I'm not saying every Gadol has tremendous, you know, some Gadol has a shamish who is really on top of everything, and, you know, and is, and he doesn't have these needs, you know. And I'm sure there are some, but there are many gedolim that don't have shamashim, and they're very simple. And it's something to know, because everyone just assumes it's like so pushy to people that it's not true, that they don't even stop to notice. So it's something. It's just something good to know in the back of your mind that very often, I don't say all the time, but very often, some of the biggest gedolei hador have basic needs that, and it's not. It's almost effortless that we could help them. And the only reason why people don't is because no one knows. And pay attention. That's all. It's just a etza teiva to pay attention and just try and see.
Okay.
I'm stubborn, there's an Indian to do that too, but as a still ain't a diamond. A guy in yeshiva is not, it's not yet a gadol. There's an Indian that does chesed to everybody. Even a guy not in yeshiva. A guy is an Indian yeshiva, probably a bigger Indian, but a gadol is like a, you know, something special.